Donegal has some of the most beautiful gardens in the country and a rich tradition of garden making that stretches back to monastic times and spans the county from the Fannad Peninsula to Donegal Bay. But these gardens are much more than beautiful spaces. Behind neat hedges and through the flower borders hide 100 stories of our history, our garden making, and the magnificent obsessions that inspire people to make and maintain these Edens. My name is Mary Brophy, and I'm once again heading down the garden path to explore 6 more of Donegal's best-loved gardens. From a farmed landscape to private havens, in this second series, I'll be considering what it means to garden in a time of climate crisis and biodiversity loss.
You could actually smell the burning last year. I thought the geraniums would never come back again, you know, but they did.
And experience the stunning plants and trees that inhabit these spaces.
These are Scheffleras, so these are native to Taiwan. They're relatively new on the scene.
As I discover how we can create beautiful, productive spaces that work for both wildlife and people.
We have such little problems with pests. There is a balance. It's not a monoculture.
And how we might evolve our definition of what a garden is or can become.
Gardens can be absolutely anything your imagination wants them to be.
Today I am on the shores of Loch Swilly in Buncrana. I'm hunkered down at the side of a road on one of the busiest junctions in the town, looking at cassiar, yarrow, and a surprising number of pollinator-friendly wildflowers in this unassuming verge.
We do have knotweed in it. It's self-healed with elephantiasis. Now that's a great wee plant, you know, and you get that in a short sward.
I'm with Buncrana's town gardener, George McDermott, to discover how he and this Donegal town are responding to biodiversity loss.
It's strange to think of talking about a wildflower meadow at the side of one of the busiest junctions in Buncrana.
More and more councils are getting involved with this sort of thing, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it is a pollinator resource, you know. And I think it looks, from a local authority point of view, I think you can get away with this. We have our roundabout up there, you know, so this is just a wee bit of wildness, but it's managed, you know. Yeah. It's not abandoned, you know, because total abandonment doesn't work. Unfortunately, you know, rewilding and all, it has its place and all, but if we were just to let that, you know, go on and grow on, it just wouldn't do the thing. I mean, you'd have perennial ryegrass in that sward, maybe, you know, and it would just swap everything, you know. But, like, I'm looking there, I see loads of things there now, and, you know, we had about 100 orchids in that.
We can see the remnants of one just
They're seeding now, yeah. So it's an important time of the year. Don't be impatient, don't go in too early and cut it down. Let things seed, you know.
Where would the orchids have come from?
Yeah, because see, this is it. And the seed bank's there on the soil. Yeah. You know, we're very, very close to the sea here.
Yes.
200 years ago, 300 years ago, this might well have been macker grassland. The road was likely behind us.
Yes.
Because the tide came right in. If you start digging there, you'll likely find sand, you know.
That's really hopeful almost, yeah. that it's that resilient, the seed bank, yeah. If we just give it a chance. Behind us, yep. On the edge of the roundabout, we have some amazing plants for pollinators. You have a row of dahlias in the centre.
Yes, that dahlia, that pink dahlia there is fascination. And I have had that for years and it's so reliable.
It's a nice clump forming dahlia as well.
Yes. And it's flat. The important thing about it is it's just a flat flower. It's a single flower, you know. It's not a double flower, so that's important when it comes to pollinating insects. And the cosmos, of course, it couldn't be without the cosmos.
Yeah.
If you keep dead cosmos, they keep coming, you know. Colours too. Colours, of course, are important for pollinators. Well, for bees anyway, because they see things in a different spectrum to us. So the purples and the blues and those pinks look, you know, they seem to be attracted to those.
Yeah.
They are. The candy froth of cosmos in front of us is alive with bees and is a good example of how things have changed in public amenity planting. Gone are the revolving door of begonias and geranium in bedding schemes that hark back to Victorian times. Now open-faced flowers sway through tall grasses with bold structure from umbellifers or tall florets of colour like Verbena banariensis.
We've come into Amazing Grace Park, George. Tell me how this came about.
It's kind of collaboration with the council and the Tidy Towns and local groups and the Mason Grace Committee. This was a derelict piece of land back in 2012. Got funding for this to turn it into a garden. We're surrounded by water here in Bunkranna, the Swilly and Inishowen. We have, on the other side of Inishowen, we have the Foyle, but the only thing we didn't have here was a pond,
right,
for wildlife, right, for insects. So that was the idea for that. And I'm starting to notice now, you know, we have dragonflies, we have damselflies now, you know, you have pond skaters in there now.
And this is in what, about 7 years?
Yeah, 2014 I think it was, right, finished, and it's gone through a couple of phases as well. Now we have a big problem in here with Mare's Tail.
Yes.
So we're going to have to adapt our planting a little bit, I think. And a lot of the planting, well, especially in the pond, planting is a lot native. You're looking there at loosestrife, purple loosestrife there, flowering rush. I can even see bumblebees.
The flowering rush is,
yeah,
amazing,
it's absolutely
it?
Beautiful,
it's
plant.
Like, it's almost like a big, wide, open allium plant.
Isn't it? Just,
yeah,
absolutely,
it's
gorgeous.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
All those individual flowers.
And that is spread.
There's a bumblebee on it, isn't it?
Yeah, there is a bumblebee on it.
Amazing Grace Park now forms an important part of Buncrana's contribution to the All-Ireland Pollinator Plan. This was established in 2015 as a way to help all of us, be it gardeners, farmers, community groups and councils, to create spaces where pollinators can survive and thrive. And Buncrana has certainly excelled. Buncrana Tidy Towns has twice won the National Pollinator Award for Large Towns. George and I head further down this public garden path, and we come upon a small but beautiful wildflower meadow.
So we're coming around the pond now, and just to our right-hand side, there is, it's just a whole sea of white and butterflies going through it. Is that all wild carrot?
That's wild carrot at the minute, yeah.
All along here, you've dotted little bug hotels and
right,
on stilts.
Yeah.
Was that all part of the design?
No, that's a new design feature we put on. It's an idea I stole or borrowed from Nigel Dunnett, who I'm a big fan of. Garden designer, has done the moat in London.
Didn't
yeah.
he do the Olympic Park?
He did indeed, yeah. Yeah, so that's where he came to. He used this idea, and I think it was 2012 or something, at Chelsea Flower Show, you know. It's about nature and urban dwelling and all. So I just think it's absolutely brilliant. I'm a big fan of bees anyway, and these are for cavity nesting bees, and it's aesthetically pleasing, I suppose, as well.
It
but
is,
it's, yeah. it's you're not going to get 100%, you know,
occupancy.
No, definitely not. Like, but you do. I have seen solitary bees. I have used these at home myself, and I've had leafcutter bees using them. You know,
okay.
And even as simple as drilling a post with, you know,
a couple of holes in it,
a few holes,
right,
yeah,
size.
The right size, yeah, yeah. That's the important thing.
And, yeah. As you say that about the London environment, like they do look a bit like high-rise towers in the middle of this sea of carrot underneath. And that's kind of an important, like, for people who may not be aware of Nigel Dunnett or that kind of thinking, you know, it's important to think about urban spaces as potentially gardens and habitats wherever we can make them.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, yeah, I mean, that meadow is relatively new. That's only in its second year.
This one here?
Yeah, yeah, this is new to Amazing Grace. And I mean, it's been a great success so far.
I'm Mary Brophy, and in today's episode of Down the Garden Path, I'm in Buncrana with town gardener George McDermott to learn how, for the last number of years, Buncrana has put biodiversity at the heart of all its public amenity gardening. As I'm discovering here in Buncrana, maximising opportunities to create habitat for wildlife and insects is put front and centre of designs and plant choices, from small pond verges right through to large public parks.
We're looking across at the old castle gardens there, the terraced gardens.
George and I have just come past the Amazing Grace viewing point, and we're making our way towards Swan Park.
They used to, flax mill, we're going to Swan Park, was an old flax mill. The Dutch used to come in to bring the sailcloth away with them. Ballast in the boats was Dutch soil, and hardly went into the gardens there, so hardly that's Dutch soil over in there.
Wow. So we're just coming through these lovely piers, And this is, we're definitely entering into something. So this was all part of an estate?
Yeah, I suppose, yeah. To the right here, it's all overgrown now. That would have been the original avenue. Now, the bit we're about to enter now, Donegal County Council only acquired this bit of land recently off another landowner. So this is really a new bit of the park.
Swan Park suffered devastating damage in the floods that ripped through this area in 2017. It took a long, arduous 18 months to secure funding to restore the park, and then another few years of very hard work. But this much-loved historic park officially reopened in 2022 with a new area of 3.5 hectares added to the park. A daunting and exciting task for any gardening team.
We have Sorbus Joseph Rock. Great. Sorbus Archipyria. Joseph Rock, yeah.
And underneath.
Great wildlife plant, yeah.
Underneath some hydrangeas.
We have hydrangea limelight.
Yes.
Yeah. And again, I'm using my grass there. We have Kelma grass again, and we have some dogwood there too. Cornus alba siberica, yeah.
Not like that lovely red.
Yeah, well, you mean, I think we'll get that in the winter time then, against the yellow berries of the Sorbus Joseph Rock.
It'd be lovely.
Hopefully, work. Podiaster connubia, which I think it's a brilliant plant. You know, it's obviously a good pollinator plant, but it's also great for birds. And if you're lucky enough in a cold winter, sometimes you get waxwings on them, you know?
Really?
So I can imagine we get a flocks of waxwings.
And have you much of that planted through?
Yeah, we do.
I mean, the berries are already coming out there.
Yeah,
now.
We do. We've a fair wee bit of it right through our planting.
No. You have to have a particular eye, though, because you're looking at it not from a private garden perspective. It's very much a public garden, and how that's going to work from a management perspective, but also the aesthetic for the public.
Absolutely, yeah. Good point. Yeah, yeah. And some things maybe won't work for us, so we'll have to change, you know. And we have to make sure, you know, it can't be too labour intensive either.
Yes.
You know, because we've such a big area to look after, you know. Surrounded by holly, as I said, we've over 400 metres of holly hedge, native holly, aquifolium, plus the existing holly that is already in the park.
Yeah.
And hopefully soon we might start to see the holly blue butterfly. So it's
that's what you're aiming for.
Well, yeah.
You've created the meal. You're hoping.
We're trying. Yeah, and it is present in Donegal, but in any short, it's very, very scarce.
Okay.
It's almost non-existent as far as we can tell. But you never know, you know.
As we head deeper into the park, George and I pass the entertainment space, an amphitheatre-like grass parterre surrounded by pollinator-friendly and native trees. And a dense clover sward that is a magnet for bees. And further along, the scale of the canvas George has had to work with allowed him to include some lovely specimens into the design.
I think my favourite one maybe is the Protea persica.
Yes.
The Persian ironwood down there, you know. We have liquid amber, Turkish hazel, and we have Jack Montier birch.
So when this came up, did you just have a shopping list of all of the lovely things that you want?
Yeah. It's things that I can't have in my own garden, I was able to. Standing here in front of another bed here, Bitchin' of Jack Monte again, flanked on both sides by two crabs, Golden Hornet. Well, it's Golden Hornet.
Talk to me about the idea of that introduction of crab apples, like putting apples and fruiting plants into a park, a public park.
Yeah.
Like, that's a new... Like, we've kind of gone back more towards that again, aren't we?
Well, yeah. Again, it's kicking a couple of boxes, I suppose, the pollinator aspect. Of course, you know, the crabs are great for that. The birds will relish those, like,
yes.
Definitely. John Downey is a red crab we have down there as well. We have Malus Everest up on our long border.
It's a beautiful crab.
Yeah, it's beautiful crab.
Beautiful flowers.
Yeah, absolutely beautiful. One of the hardier ones. And we just grow on that, you know, and see what we can add, like, you know.
So just now we're coming into what is obviously a new addition.
You're standing on the Mill Bridge. This bridge was washed away
yeah.
almost completely.
Yeah.
It was a terrifying flood, and it ripped through there, the heart of the park, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, so everything you look at here is kind of...
brand new.
Yeah, well, put back as best we could to the original.
Oh, this is lovely. Right in front of me, there is a circle of fastidious... but they have that lovely upright habit.
Yeah,
it's almost Mediterranean, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose they're commonly known as the cypress oak.
Yes.
Yeah, they're a very architectural tree. And they support all the native flora and fauna that are native oak too as well, like, you know, so.
Yeah. I'm drawn to this calm space, a moment of formality in the garden. And you can't help but admire the bold statement this circle of trees make as you come into a part of the park that was so destroyed by the 2017 floods. The oaks somehow now stand like sentries against the river. To our right, a new community orchard with heirloom varieties underplanted with a hayflower meadow. And then we come to a garden that was completely washed away 5 years ago.
So this is the butterfly garden.
Yeah, well,
and you've always had one here in Swan Park.
It's about 2000 and maybe 7, something like that, 6. And it was destroyed during the flood. So we kind of going about replanting it, and it's basically pollinator plants in general, you know. We're going to have to add some larva food plants and the likes, you know.
Talk me through some of the planting. I mean, right beside me is the very brilliant pollinator plant, which is the buddleia, and right underneath it you have these lovely sedums.
Absolutely, yeah.
Again, like that like an umbrella shape on the top. Talk to me about the planting that you have other than that.
Well, the buddleias, a few different buddleias. There are buddleia divinia, dark night.
This is dark night behind.
Yeah, yeah. I think black night or dark night. And then we have the sedum autumn glory. I mean, that's a magnet for bees and for butterflies. I mean, that'll be covered in peacock butterflies next month, I would say. Or this month, all going well. And we have an age with an apita.
Lining the path with catmint.
Six sills giant.
Yeah.
And then we have just a range of different verbenas, of course. We have asters, aster mock and aster little carlo. We have some scabious, some eupatorium. We have even some mallows going on there. Again, and then we have a lot of shrubs. We have hebes. Hebe salicifolia, hebe marjorie. All good plants in their own right. You know, it's trying to keep succession.
To keep food for the
larva food plants. I mean, we couldn't accommodate all our butterflies, obviously, you know, in that respect. But, you know, simple things, even a cabbage, you know, for a cabbage white butterfly, a small white, you know, that's important too.
And I notice this, like, you know, the Nepeta is here in a very formal line along the path edge.
Yeah.
But as we go towards the canopy of trees, it starts to get looser. The planting is kind of almost disappearing into the undergrowth.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, those were looking up, those trees, the existing trees, were able to stand the flood. And I mean, the great thing about this butterfly garden, it's its aspect, south facing, you know, and it's sheltered from the north with those trees in the northwest. And it's a microclimate here, you know. Yeah. We had up to 15 species of butterfly in the park back in the day, and the first silver wash fritillary in it is shown was recorded in the park here by myself, so yeah, so that was great, you know. So and just there last week, first time I've seen it in about 5 years. So last week one appeared flitting through the park. It's silver washed. Yeah so
fantastic.
Yeah,
so just as we're standing in here, butterflies have started to appear. I saw a few whites going past us there a minute ago.
Yeah, and a few speckled woods. Well, I guess we shouldn't forget our moths either. I mean, this is a haven for moths. Actually, more moths in Ireland than we have butterflies. Yeah. And we have 35 species of butterfly, maybe upwards of 1,000 species of moth, you know?
Yeah. They're all valuable pollinators as well.
Absolutely.
For people who have no idea, like, you know, they want to do things in their gardens for pollinators and for insects, what is it about these particular plants that are good for pollinators?
Well, blues and those purples all work for bees because they see the different spectrum, you know, the light. Moths are white is good at night. for moths, you know. But they'll go to most things. You know, if you go out with a torch at night to a buddleia, guaranteed this time of year it'll be full of moths.
Yes.
Yeah, you know.
And even as we're standing here, like those pale sedum, like it's kind of a greeny, yellowy colour to the sedum now. But I can imagine at dusk, that's quite bright.
That's right, yeah. You know? Like this will take all that. And this is a nice time to visit the park in the evening time, you know, this time of year, like the light is different, like, and you see things in a different perspective, you know. I will be a moth enthusiast and butterfly enthusiast, so. And I came to bees later, you know, bumblebees. I'm quite fond of bumblebees, you know, and 21 species of bumblebee in the country, you know, 6 common species, you know. And it's great, it gives you satisfaction growing plants that you know that are benefiting our insects, you know. And definitely, there's no doubt about it, when you put in the right plants, the bees do come, like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But amenity planting now, are you looking at the whole thing like a whole ecosystem? So that the roundabout above at the top of the town that we saw first is all connected as much as you can to get all that planting connected.
Absolutely. Pretty. Corridors, like wildlife corridors, are so important. Hedgerows are so important. We've planted a lot of hedgerows over the last few years. Yeah, you're right. It's trying to connect it all like into a place like this, like, you know, which is quite sheltered in here, you know. It's an ideal environment in here.
As we'll discover time and again in this series, there's a simple maxim that applies in gardening for biodiversity and nature. Build it, and they will come. So as we reach the end of this week's garden path, George does a quick bee count along a small transect of new border. Conditions just now aren't ideal for bees. The winds in the park have picked up a little, but I'm curious to see what turns up.
So we have 6 common bumblebee species. In Ireland, we mostly have the 6 in Ashone. We're walking here and see this catmint here. I'm looking at the small carter. So you have a tick against that, so you count how many there. There's 1, 2.
That's the small carter.
Yeah,
So there's 2 there.
Bombus pascorum. And then you'll have the white tailed bumblebee worker. It's Bombus lacorum ag. Yeah.
This guy at the back.
Yeah. There's small carter. Common carter. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 small carter. Common carter, sorry. I think we had there, we had Bombus pascorum there.
Okay, so with 6 carter.
You know, some days you'll see more than others. It's a bit breezy today, so.
Yeah.
You know, it just mightn't be great. Here on that helenium here, we have another. White-tailed bumblebee. Yep, there's another. And an agapanthus, there you go. So it's actually...
Is that another carter?
No, that's actually a white-tailed bumblebee also, yeah. There you go, agapanthus does work.
You obviously have an interest and passion in the wildlife side of it, as well as the gardening side. Are you hopeful?
Yeah, I think we have to keep plugging away at it, definitely, because if we don't, people will forget, you know, because there is habitat loss everywhere. So it's important that what we do have, we look after and create more if we can, you know. Mm. And that makes my job much more interesting because we're able to add to it all the time.
Next time on Down the Garden Path.
There's another plant way back at the back, Scuffola. It's the plant that they give 007 to get him to tell the truth plant.
Down the Garden Path is written and presented by Mary Brophy and produced by Neil Boyle. It is an IWR media production for Highland Radio, funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee.